Holy One, as we stumble around in the darkness of our own misunderstanding, will you light our way? Amen. If we walk in the light as he himself is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Have you stumbled in the darkness? Have you found the fork in the tunnel and wondered which way will lead you to the light? Have you looked up in the darkness of the tunnel and seen the light at the end of the tunnel, only to shrink back afraid of what the light will require? Have you seen the light at the end of the tunnel, and have you wondered if what you see is the light of escape, or if it's the train bearing down on you? We walk in darkness in a tunnel from which we seek escape. Do we just keep walking? Do we turn back? Do we find a branching tunnel? Think about that for a minute. What are the ways you can think of or you have been told to get through the tunnel? I'll give you a minute. And now I'd like to ask you, what the heck are we doing in a tunnel? Really? The image of the tunnel is evocative, and we feel hemmed in as if we can't see clearly, as if there's not enough space, not enough air, not enough light. It's a metaphor or a figure of speech or a way of thinking in which a human situation is compared to something else. Because human lives are difficult and confusing, and metaphors like this one, climbing in a dark tunnel, for example, are one of the ways that we try to understand what's happening, a way of imagining that allows us to speak to one another and to ourselves about how we're feeling, what is happening, and what solutions are possible. And metaphors about light and darkness are found in all cultures and all languages, so much so that we start to take the metaphors literally. Metaphors are not reality. In fact, some of these metaphors are used specifically so that we limit our own understanding and limit our own options. So let me suggest to you that Jesus is not telling us how to get through the tunnel. Most of the time he's telling us, and let me paraphrase here, do not try to bend the tunnel. That's impossible. Instead, only realize the truth. There is no tunnel. I have smarties, those who can tell me the references after. The truth is, there is no tunnel. Now, as soon as I say that, you may say to yourself, well, of course, but that is how it feels. And yes, it does. But in the meantime, you've made plans and strategies based on the tunnel, as if that were reality. There's a wonderful Bible reading that we often share at Christmas when the prophet Isaiah calls out to God in passion, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down." And we read it at Christmas because of the idea that Jesus came not to take up arms in an existing situation, but to tear apart our understanding of the reality of the situation. The light that shines when the heavens open and the angels sing in the Nativity story, or when the curtain is torn asunder in the crucifixion story, or when Jesus appears and his best friends don't recognize him, and the resurrection story, is because Jesus changes our understanding of reality and actually changes reality as we live it. In C.S. Lewis's final book of the Narnia Chronicles, he uses the same idea. When a group of dwarves is trapped in a stable, unable to see that they've entered paradise. People around them pick fruit from trees that shine with their own light, but they can only see darkness, and they start to squabble among themselves over the bits of refuse on the stable floor. But there is no stable. And when someone tries to tell them they are not trapped, they become very angry and combative. I'd like to tell you about a tunnel that is often presented as reality. We are told that people on welfare are taking more money than the taxpayers can afford. Here's a reality check. When I was working at First United Church on the Downtown East Side, we who were working as advocates would take up the cause of people with AIDS who needed special food. Now, under the law, people with certain medical conditions can apply for an extra $100 a month for food so they could buy fresh vegetables and fruit. The ministry that operates welfare always, always, always turned down those requests and forced the people who were already sick to go to tribunal. And if they did, the ministry would send up to 3 lawyers at a time to fight the request, try to find ways to delay the process, if not deny it. 3 lawyers and the members of the tribunal, all paid for by the ministry. Sometimes the advocates were paid for by the ministry. The cost of the tribunal itself was often more than $300,000 per case. If the person had lived another 40 years, frankly unlikely, at that time, if they lived on the downtown east side with AIDS, the government would have given them an extra $50,000 in total, maybe. It would have saved hundreds of thousands in hospital visits and other costs. But the image of the tunnel was carefully built out of bias and the desire to punish people who had AIDS and who were on welfare. And it began in cruelty, and it was supported by greed of those who already had plenty. And the reality was obvious to anyone who started their analysis from compassion, and completely obscured for anyone who started their analysis with an economy of scarcity. And so the situation became completely absurd, to the extent that finally the media started reporting on it. It was absurd in the very way that Jesus speaks about the wisdom of the world being foolishness to God. A whole strategy had been built on the idea that this process somehow saved taxpayers' money. It was absurd. The tunnel, the stable, the image of scarcity, the fortress idea, the wall. These are all ideas we've created to try to make ourselves feel safe. And the amazing thing is that they do just the opposite, which has the effect of us trying to build more walls and more fortresses and more tunnels. We huddle inside these false castles, and often they are actually the very thing that costs us our safety and our health and our opportunities. We've built comfortable houses and cars that are little mini houses. Mine is. I eat in it, you know, I carry things in it. I store things in it. We feel safe. And yet doctors would tell us that the biggest threat to our health is sitting too much and never going outside. We build walls against neighbors when the biggest threat to our safety and security is our lack of understanding. And the biggest economic threats are the inability to work together and things that keep people from full participation in society, like clean water and education and housing. We've constructed a whole reality of geography and culture around cars. So in places like Richmond, many new communities are built without sidewalks. I mean, why? And we spend the biggest part of our snow removal budget on plowing streets for cars, until Norway and Sweden pointed out that you move a whole lot more people if you plow sidewalks. Reality is often nothing like the image we've built. That's why Jesus was so dangerous and continues to be dangerous, because Jesus encourages people to crack open their understanding of reality, not just a specific situation. Not just to look at someone else with kindness. That's hard enough, but it's still too easy. Jesus encourages us to ask not just how we find the light at the end of the tunnel, but why are you entering the tunnel at all? And better yet, to ask, is there a tunnel at all? And you know you've asked the right question when people get angry, especially when people of privilege get angry, because the question shakes both the understanding of reality and the understanding of our identity within it. And here's a really hard thing. When someone asks you a question and you are instantly filled with anger and lack of compassion, you might want to ask yourself what reality for you is being challenged. They might be wrong. On the other hand, you might be wrong. Or you may both just be pointing in different directions and staying within the tunnel. What if there's not a tunnel and the answer isn't either or, but something entirely different? These days I'm looking for the light outside the tunnel that shows options that aren't either or in some really difficult situations. It doesn't have to be either or, them or us. The light of Christ shines in the darkness like sunshine tearing apart the heavens and illuminating a reality we don't always understand and too often don't actually want to see. Walk in the light.